Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
I'm excited about this evening. And I'm going to try to not keep you too long because we've already had much of things to do in service tonight, but it's all been good things. But I'm excited to get to the Word because this is week four. If you've been here every single week, or maybe you've missed one or two, but during the month of February, this is our fourth week of getting back to the basics. And I hope and pray that it has called you to take a deeper look at the Word of God throughout the week. That's really what my job as an orator or a communicator, a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is to get you to look deeper at the Word of God. Not at what I say, but deeper at what He says. I want to say things that provoke you to read the Word of God tomorrow morning, that you would be like those people at Berea that were noble-minded and they sought the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So I hope that as we've talked through this and we've looked into the Word of God, that it has made you take a deeper look and that you've allowed the Holy Spirit, more than anything, allowed Him to search you and expose any deception or any way that you've been pulled away. Because remember where we start this. I'll remind you one more time of what the Apostle Paul wrote the Corinthian church in his second letter to them in chapter 11 in verse 3. He said, "But I fear," which we established as parental concern, not irrational fear, "lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." That's where all this started, of getting back to the basics, that the devil is literally trying to lure you away from the simplicity of Christ. And he's trying to get you to be deceived by his craftiness. And so that's why we're taking a deeper look at topics that we could be tempted or prone to just skip over and think that they're not important, or we've already learned that and we don't need to know it anymore. But I've realized that as we age in humanity, as we grow as human beings and as our bodies and our minds mature, we don't forget the basic fundamentals that we learned when we were babies. I mean, you most likely learned to walk somewhere between the ages of 9 months and 18 months old. That's roughly when people start walking. You didn't abandon that principle. You got stronger in that principle. You didn't go, "I'm older, I've learned how to walk, I guess I'll just stop walking." You didn't just give up all your basic motor skills. You got more and more skilled as you went through life, and you made less messes, and you were faster, and you were better, and you were stronger. And it's the same way with the Word of God, with these basic things. We cannot neglect them. We can't push them to the side. We've got to grow in them. And the way that we grow in them is by looking at them, being taught them, and remembering them over and over again. So I want to conclude this series tonight by speaking to you on a topic that may seem anticlimactic, because you're like, "Oh, this is the last one of the series. Let's blow it out of the water," right? This is going to be a really anticlimactic moment. Are you ready? I'm going to talk to you about waiting on the Lord, okay? Waiting on the Lord. It doesn't sound exciting. It doesn't sound like anything that we would want to do, but I'm going to show you in Scripture that's exactly what be missing in your life is the discipline of waiting on God. Look at your neighbor and say, "Nobody likes to wait." That's the truth. I don't care if you don't agree with anything else I say tonight. The truth is nobody drives up to the drive-thru, places their order, and then sits there for 15 minutes and goes, "You know what? I love waiting in line at this restaurant." Nobody likes to wait, okay? But it is very vitally important as believers, according to the Word of God, that we know how to wait on God before we make decisions, before we make purchases, before we engage in relationships, before we move forward. We must know how to wait on the Lord. Remember the first week that we were together on Wednesday nights in the month of February. At the end of service, I shared a story regarding the Syrian commander of the army by the name of Naaman, who came to the prophet Elisha looking to find healing for leprosy that had covered his body, was ruining his life. And he came to him And he was frustrated because Elisha would not come out and see him. But Elisha gave him the simple instruction to go wash himself in the River Jordan 7 times. The Bible says that Naaman became indignant. He became so angry and mad. He said, are the rivers of my country not much better than this dirty old Jordan River? And it's amazing to me that his servants came to him. And this is the words that they said to him. They said, my father, if the prophet asked you to do something great, you would have done it. But how much more then? Listen to that phrasing. How much more then? How much more important is it to do the little thing than be just, we're so willing to do the great things for God, the big things for God. And I'm so proud of these gentlemen that are going to Mardi Gras to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think it's huge. But I think that there's a lot of people that we want to do all the big stuff and we want to be seen and we want to be heard and we want to be known. But how much more when he just asks you, wash and be clean. Something so simple. It's amazing to me that we want to pray, we want to preach, we want to prophesy, we want to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, but will we wait on God? Because if you don't wait on God before you lay hands on that person, there will be no unction or anointing to heal that person. If you don't wait on God before you pray, you're just murmuring words out into the open. We must learn how to wait on God so that we can walk with God, because it's only him that has the anointing and the power to transform and to cleanse minds and lives. Jesus told the apostles after he had died, been buried, resurrected, he appeared to 500 of them according to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And while he was appeared before them, do you know what he said to those 500 people? He said, go wait in the upper room until the Holy Spirit has endued you with power from on high. 500 people. How many people were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost? 120 people remained and went and applied the word of God to wait. You know how long they waited? 10 days in that upper room, they waited and waited and waited and waited. I'm sure that there was more than 120 on that first day. And then it dwindled down a little bit on the next day and a little bit on the next day, because somebody finally said, you know what? We're wasting our time. I'm not waiting around. I've got a camel payment to make. I've got to get back to work. I just can't sit around anymore. This isn't worth it. I don't think, but do you know who received power from on high when the Holy Ghost had deposited himself into that room as flames of fire upon every single head? The ones who had waited. Let's be people that wait. Amen? Amen. We don't wait because we don't see it as spiritual. Right? But I would ask you, is obedience not spiritual? And he told us in his word, we'll read it in a moment, to wait on him. What's greater than obedience? My answer, nothing. In fact, if you read 1 Samuel, it says to obey is greater than sacrifice. Still a great quote today, but doesn't have quite the context or the meaning that it would have had in the old covenant, when sacrifice was the highest form of pleasure to bring to God. And Samuel said, no. What you don't understand is, yes, sacrifice is good, but your sacrifice with no obedience isn't anything. Right? So we want to be people who obey him. He says that we should wait. But waiting, it seems so insignificant, so menial, so simple, right? But my title for tonight is simply this: waiting isn't wasted. You know why we don't wait? Because we think it's wasted. It feels empty, feels worthless. You can't see anything while it's happening. You can't feel anything while it's happening. That's why I love that song so much that says, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. When you're waiting, you might not see it. You might not feel it, but trust me, he is working something in you and through you that you could not do if you did not take that time to sit and yield and position yourself before the Lord and say, I'm waiting on you. But we don't wait because it feels wasted. And I'm just sitting there. No, you're not just sitting there. You're obeying the word of the Lord and you are receiving, you are serving. I want to show that to you tonight. Go with me, stand to your feet with your Bible in hand. If you would do this, please go with me to Psalm chapter 40. Lord, help me get this out in 24 minutes. Let's go. There are miracles happen in transition. Lord, bring a transition right now. Psalm chapter 40, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. It says, David speaking, he prays this and he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Now, go with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Both of these are extremely familiar passages of scripture, and I thought what better things to bring to our minds and getting back to the basics than scriptures that we're so familiar with. We hang them on our walls, we post them on our Facebook, but let's try living them for once, okay? We sing them all the time. I told Pastor Madison this earlier. We sing about waiting on God a lot more than we wait on God. We sing about it all the time, but let's do it, okay? Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 through 31. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Pray with me this evening. Father, we come before you. I yield this time to you. I yield myself to you as a messenger of the gospel. I pray that every single heart that is here would be open to receive the words that the Spirit of God would say to the church tonight. Let your anointing and your presence be in this place, I ask. We love you and we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your peace, and for the instruction of the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. So what do we learn from these two passages of scripture that we just read in Psalm chapter 40 and Isaiah chapter 40? What is it that we get and that we see and that we learn in them? Well, for me, I get answers to life's problems. When I look at this scripture, I get answers to the problems that I face time and time again throughout my life. Because I've learned as I read these scriptures that you feel weak because you won't wait. I've learned that you don't have an answer because you won't wait. I've learned that you don't have any power because you won't wait. I've learned that you faint in the day of adversity because your strength is small, which comes back to the fact that you won't wait. Because he'll give you strength, he'll give you power, he will answer you, he will give you what you need if you will just be willing to slow down just long enough to wait on God. Could it be that you're depressed because you won't wait on the Lord? Because the Bible says in the book of Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, that in his presence, there's fullness of joy. But sometimes to get into his presence, you got to wait a little bit. You got to position yourself a little bit. You've got to be willing to submit to his time instead of wanting him to do things your way. Because when David waited, God responded. Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and he heard my cry. He responded to me. So when David waited, God responded. He said, in essence, this is what David said. Look, he's testifying. He's saying, I was in a pit. I was in between a rock and a hard place. I was stuck in the mud. I was sunken down. I didn't know what else to do, but now he has pulled me up out of that miry clay. He has set my feet upon a rock. I am firmly planted and established on a solid foundation. And now I have a song of praise to my God. But what was David's response when he found himself in the pit? Was it complaining? Was it negativity? Was it shaking his fist at God? No, he understood the only way I'm ever going to get out of this pit is if I wait patiently on the Lord. That was his answer. He waited patiently. David was a man after God's own heart, but he still became weary and overwhelmed by the pit. He still found himself there, which shows me that none of us are exempt from finding ourselves in seasons where we need to wait patiently on the Lord, because if not, we're going to be stuck in a pit in the middle of the miry clay. In Isaiah, it says, even the youth shall faint. Even the youths will become weary. Even the young men shall utterly fall, but I love that interjection of but, right? But you may get tired. You may feel weak. You may seem overwhelmed, but there is a solution to the problems that you're facing in life. Wait on the Lord. Let me ask you, when was the last time? Don't answer out loud, please. Don't be that person. I'm asking you right now. I'm extending a moment of grace to you. When was the last time you waited 5 minutes on God? Just waited. I didn't ask you when was the last time you prayed or read your Bible. When was the last time you just waited? You just sat there. You just were with God with the purpose and the intention of waiting. It's scriptural, which means it's spiritual. But I know people that consider themselves to be super spiritual that I can guarantee you they're not practicing this in their life. And that's why we lack power. It's why we lack strength. It's why we don't have an answer. It's why we feel like we're in the pit. It's why we feel depressed. It's why we're worried. It's why we're overwhelmed. It's because we don't go, whoa, I need to wait on God for a moment, right? Because it feels wasted. I want to say this to you tonight in love. Your feelings are not the regulator of truth. Okay? Your feelings are not the regulator of truth. And I need to remind myself of that on a daily basis. Because it's very easy to get caught up in, well, I just feel like. When you said that, I just felt like. If someone says that to you, you have my permission to quote the fact that your feelings are not the regulator of truth. Because I've had people say to me, well, I just feel like you. And I say, what you feel and what I do could be two completely different things. Amen. Your feelings do not dictate the motives of my heart. So your feelings are not the regulator for truth. Your feelings cannot and do not dictate what is right and what is wrong. Well, I just feel like it's wasted. You can feel like it's wasted all you want, but you can't change the truth of the word of God, which is that those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So you can say all you want. I just feel like I'm wasting 5 minutes. I feel like I'm wasting 10 minutes. It's not going to feel good or feel right, especially when you start. It's like when you start going to the gym. As you can tell, maybe I shouldn't be using this as an analogy, but when you go to the gym, it doesn't feel good at first, but you talk to somebody that's been day in, day out in the gym. They made it a part of their life. They're like, man, I'd rather lose a pinky toe than miss a day at the gym, right? They're just like, they love being at the gym. Why? Because eventually it starts to feel good what used to feel bad because you've conditioned yourself. So at first, waiting on God will not feel good. But once you see the results, just like going to the gym, you start looking in the mirror and you start going, whoa, did you get a new mirror? What is this, you know, because you start seeing results for what you've been putting the work in for, all of a sudden you'll go, this is worth it. Waiting on God, I feel strengthened. I feel empowered. I feel happy. I feel joyful. I feel like I know what to do. I feel like God is leading me and guiding me. It may feel wasted, but trust me, it isn't wasted. Strength comes out of your waiting. Power comes out of your waiting. His answer is coming out of your waiting. Redemption from the pit is coming out of your waiting. But here's another thing that I've learned. Human error abounds when we fail to wait. I've seen it in my life over and over again. If I would have just slept on that decision, if I would have just waited a moment instead of being so hasty and I have to have it and I have to have it right now. It's why most people live in debt. Is because they aren't willing to wait for something. They aren't willing to understand that in process of time, if I will just be disciplined enough to save for this and to think about it, then and to seek God's counsel on it and to wait to see if he will give me peace to do it, then it might be a blessing in my life. But now it's become a burden because I failed to wait, because when we fail to wait, human error abounds. I want to show you this to you in the scripture. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, we find one of the most heartbreaking stories in all of the Bible, if you ask me. I love the Bible because it's full of hope, it's full of truth, it's full of great stories, but it's also full of moments of heartache and seasons of life that we can learn from. And we look at some people that fail and we can grab onto it and go, I feel like that sometimes. And it breaks our hearts. I read this story today and my heart broke for the character in this story, who we know is the man who was first anointed king of Israel. His name was Saul. And in 1 Samuel chapter 13, Saul has been anointed king over Israel. And up until this point, everything's going pretty good. Everything's been great. It's been good. He's king. He's living in the palace. He's doing pretty good. But all of a sudden, the Philistines decide to come out and encamp against Saul. And the Bible literally says that they had 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen and footmen that could not be numbered like the sands of the sea. And so Saul begins to look out at these people that have assembled themselves against the people of Israel. And everybody that he's got camping with him has run and hid in a cave. And Saul's left there by himself, wondering, what should I do? He's overcome. He's overwhelmed. But he had a message from the prophet Samuel. And Samuel said, Saul, I want you to wait for me for 7 days. The Bible says Saul waited for the appointed time. He waited 7 days. And when he saw that Samuel did not come within the appointed time, he said, go get me the necessary means for the peace offerings, and I will make them myself to God. He was not ordained as a priest. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He had no right offering that sacrifice to the Lord, but he still offered it. Why? Because he got tired of waiting. He had an enemy in his face that he didn't know how to deal with it. He didn't know what to do. And so he resorted to, I'm going to take matters into my own hands. And the Bible says, as soon as he finished the sacrifice, here comes Samuel walking down the road. The moment he finishes, it's amazing how this actually works out timing in our life so many times. We fail to wait on God and we finally decide, I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to go for it. And then we're like, there's God. And I just made the wrong decision, right? And we know this because Saul goes out to Samuel, supposing to greet him warmly. And Samuel says, what foolish thing have you done? That was his exact words. Actually, I have it here. This is what he said. He said, what foolish thing have you done? Saul tried to explain for himself. He said, well, you know, I did this and I waited the time, but you didn't come. And then that's when Samuel said, what foolish thing you have done. You have not followed the commandment of your God. Then the saddest moment in Saul's life to that point comes out of Samuel's mouth when he says, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. You ever think about that? David is the king that ended up reigning forever. It was his line that went on and on and on, and Jesus came out of. But Samuel literally said, the Lord would have established you, Saul. But you've messed it up. Why? Because you failed to wait on him. He said, but now your kingdom shall not continue, for God has sought for himself a man after his own heart. Samuel represents God, and Saul so oftentimes represents us. We all want to relate with David, don't we? But sometimes, I'll be honest, I relate with Saul as much as I relate with David, if I'm being completely honest and 100% with myself. Saul waited, though. Here's what I want you to see. He waited 7 days. We want to just be like, Saul was so ridiculous. He was dumb. He wasn't the man David was. He waited 7 days. But he didn't wait till completion. He didn't wait all the way through. He just waited to this point. So what shows me, it's not about how long you wait. It's about when he shows up. Because you're not waiting to say, look, I've waited on God. You're waiting until he shows up. Because when he shows up, it doesn't matter what problem you're facing. I don't care how bad it gets in the 7 days you wait, in the 7 days, 70 days you wait, if it's 10 days, if it's 1 hour, if it's 5 minutes, if you'll just wait when he comes on the scene, it's never too late. That's what we learned that in John chapter 11. Lazarus has died. Jesus is 3 days late. But when he shows up, everything seems to work out. So trust me in this. You will wish you would have waited, even though it feels like it's being wasted. But we make decisions, just like Saul, based on our finite wisdom. But God instructs us and guides us through his Holy Spirit, who has infinite wisdom. We strike what we should not touch. We advance where we should not tread. Why? Because we don't wait. Just wait. Waiting is ultimately submission. That's where Saul got it wrong, was Samuel had given him an instruction and he failed to submit to the instruction that had been given to him, which was very simple. Wait. It doesn't get any simpler than that. Anyone can wait. And that's all he was telling him to do. But I believe that waiting on God is a spiritual discipline, much like prayer, worship, praise, reading the word, fasting. Waiting on God should be a part of our regular spiritual regimen. Take time tomorrow morning and wait on God. 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But do it and don't skip over it. And don't think that it's wasted. You might not feel it in the moment, but make waiting on the Lord a part of your day. And watch. you will find yourself stronger against temptation. You will find yourself stronger and less short-tempered when that coworker comes at you with that attitude that has been on your nerves since day one that you clocked into that place, and you wonder, why do they keep her around? What is she doing here? Why is she next to my cubicle? And all of a sudden, because you waited on God that morning, you have the strength that you need to love her instead of being mad at her. Okay? You're not tempted by this and by that, the way that you used to be tempted. Why? Because you've renewed your strength. You said it before the Lord this morning, and you waited for him, and you said, God, I'm just here to wait upon you. You'll find yourself where you're not so prone to discouragement. You're not so prone to anxiety, which leads a man to depression. You know why? Because you waited on the Lord, and he removed your fears, and he filled you with faith in that moment of waiting on him. But it won't work if you don't work it out. Okay? It will not work if you don't work it out. It goes back to the analogy of working out. I'm not going to get any stronger if I don't lift any weights. You're not going to reap the benefits of waiting on God if you won't chisel out the time and the discipline of waiting on God. Listen what David said in Psalm chapter 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. There's a difference in waiting anxiously and patiently. In Philippians, Paul said, be anxious for nothing. But in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So what are we supposed to be anxious for? Nothing. So in everything, we could apply this and say, I should be patient and wait for God in every single decision. It's not a magic trick that you wait 5 minutes in the morning and he's going to make everything work out. What I'm talking about waiting on God is waiting on God in everything. In everything. Yes, make it a daily discipline in the morning to do it during your quiet time. But instead, that's why Paul said, don't lay hands on anyone hastily. What's he saying? Wait on God. Yeah. Wait on him. Make sure that it's what he wants you to do. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I hear the Father doing it and seeing him do it. And if you're not hearing anything, you're not seeing anything, I would encourage you to wait. I know you want that bass boat, but maybe you just need to wait a little bit. I know that you want this and you want that and you want to see this happen. But if you'll just wait, I know you want to see your child come back to the Lord and stop being a prodigal. But maybe instead of trying to preach them into heaven, you should just wait a little bit and just love them and just talk to them and just be there for them and be a good example. Instead of trying to condemn them into the kingdom, why don't you just try to love them and pray them into the kingdom? Amen. Waiting is saying to God, I will not try to make you operate on my terms and on my timetable. You're saying something while you're waiting. You're saying to God, I'm here because you're God and there are things that you can do that I can't. It speaks volumes. When you say, I'm going to be still and know that you are God. I will submit and surrender myself to your will. But what we have to understand in the midst of understanding that waiting isn't wasted, we also have to come to the knowledge that waiting and being idle are two different things. Don't be lazy and call it waiting. I've seen a lot of people do this in the church. Oh, I'm just waiting on my season. No, you're being lazy. You need to get up off of your lazy bum and you need to go do something, okay? So waiting and being idle are two completely different things. But sometimes we don't wait because we think it means we're being idle. Well, I don't want to be idle. I want to make sure I'm doing something for the kingdom of God. Would it not be better to do it with him instead of doing something for him that he didn't want you to do anyways? Let's just wait for a little bit. Because when I think about the word wait, it also means to serve. That's why when you go to a restaurant, the person that takes your drink order and takes your food order and delivers your food to your table is called a waiter. And their job is to wait on you and to serve you. So here's what I want you to understand. When you wait on God, you're not just waiting for power and for strength and for him to work everything out for you. You're serving him. You are waiting on God and you are ministering to the Lord. It's not just about you. Don't be selfish in your waiting. God, I'm waiting so I'll renew my strength. God, I'm waiting so that you'll hear my cry. No, I'm waiting first and foremost because you're God. And I'm serving you in this moment and I am submitting myself to you and I want to minister to you. I think a lot of Christians miss out on the fact that you have the opportunity to minister to God. He created you for his pleasure. And it's not just for the musicians and the Levites and the preachers and the teachers. When you take a moment, you might be a salesperson, you might be a teacher, you might be a stay-at-home mom, but when you take that time and you go, I'm not saying anything, I'm not doing anything, I'm waiting on you. Do you realize that you are serving and ministering to the God of the universe? You are touching his heart in a way that things that you do cannot touch him. Because Mary and Martha became distracted with much serving. What was Mary doing? Sitting. Just sitting at the feet of Jesus. And it touched the heart of Jesus so much. And he said, Martha, Martha, you're distracted about many things, but Mary has chosen the good part to sit at my feet. That part which is needed, that part which is beneficial. It's beneficial for your life to minister to the Lord through waiting on him. Because when you're waiting, you're serving and you're ministering. But I want to encourage you, in your waiting, check your heart. Am I waiting on the right, in the right way, in the right heart? Am I waiting for the right reasons? Am I waiting so he'll produce a victory? Am I waiting so that he'll bless me? Am I waiting for my breakthrough? Am I waiting for revelation? Am I waiting on anointing? Am I waiting so it will catapult me into another level of a dimension where people can see me and know me and appreciate me and praise me? Or am I waiting on the Lord? What are you waiting for? Not just are you waiting, because you might be waiting in a selfish way. What did it say? I waited patiently on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. I'm not waiting for all those other things. That's his responsibility, and I know that he'll take care of them. My number one responsibility is I'm waiting on him. You wait, not because he wants you to be idle. You wait so that when he says go, you're ready to go. That's why you wait. That's why you stand in position, is you wait because you're ready. No matter what he calls you to do, I'll say yes and I'll go do it. I'm not idle. I'm standing at attention so that whenever he says go, I'm ready to go. But you know, you only wait for something when you really want it, right? Like I said at the beginning, nobody really likes to wait. No one has ever been glad about waiting. You can be glad in your waiting, but you're probably not glad for your waiting, okay? But you only wait for something when you choose and you say it's worth the wait, right? It's worth the wait. Kind of like you wait in a waiting room at the doctor because you believe that the information they're going to relay to you is worth the time that you are sacrificing to sit in that waiting room. Because they're able to tell you something that you don't know about yourself. And you have an issue within your body that you need to find a remedy for, but you couldn't find it on WebMD. And your aunt that has all these potions in her closet couldn't figure out what needed to be applied to such boil. And so you came to seek a cream that only a doctor can write a prescription for. And you decided, I'm going to wait. And listen, when you go to the doctor, let's be honest, you never just walk into the room. If you're a doctor, what are y'all doing? What are y'all, no judgment. I don't know. Like, but you're going to wait every single time you go to a waiting room. But every time that you don't, and I've done this, right? I've waited for something and decided not worth it. I'm leaving, right? Every time you wait it out, you're saying what you have is worth my time. So when you wait for God, what you're saying to him, what you have is worth it. And I want to ask you, walking in strength and walking in victory and knowing the answer in the mind of the Lord, what's it worth to you? Is it worth a few minutes? Is it worth a few seconds before you pull the trigger on that decision to go, you know what? I'm going to wait on the Lord. One of my favorite things that my grandfather says is, Spence, let's just make sure we get the mind of the Lord on this matter. When you wait on the Lord, you're getting the mind of the Lord on the matter. You know why? Because a man plans his thoughts, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. As you wait on the Lord, he's preparing you and he's planting seeds inside of you for the answers that you're going to need later that day, that if you answered them under your own strength, you would give the wrong answer, right? Or how about this? You wait in line at an amusement park based on whether the ride is worth the time, right? You go to Six Flags or Dollywood or wherever it is, and sometimes they'll have a little sign up there that says the wait is 60 minutes long. And I see Joker standing in line. And I've just decided ain't no ride worth 60 minutes of my precious time on this earth. I'm sorry, I'll go get some Dippin' Dots and I'll come back and I'll check the time later. And if it's down to like 20 minutes, I'll pray about it. But if it's not, I'll probably just go find something else to ride that has a shorter line. But some people stand in line. Why? Because the thrill of riding that ride was worth the time to stand in line. You make a decision every time you pull into a drive-thru at Chick-fil-A and you see that it's double lines long, 14 cars deep, and you decide waiting in line here is better than getting through fast at McDonald's, right? I'll drive past an empty McDonald's to get to a crowded Chick-fil-A. Why? Because of what's inside. Because it's worth it, right? That's a matter of opinion, but what God has is not a matter of opinion. It really is worth it, okay? So you're choosing this item, this experience is worth the time or it's not worth the wait, right? The experience that he has for you is always worth the wait, because waiting isn't wasted. It's invested. I think about this many times when I come out of Huntsville down Chapman Mountain. There are two gas stations on the right. There's a Mapco and there's an old Conoco something. I don't know. But Mapco is packed, baby. I'm talking just people waiting. And the next one where Papa Saint's produce trailer sets up, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. There's like one car sitting there. Why? Because of the rewards that Mapco offers that the other gas station doesn't offer. And people say, I'd rather be in line behind you and almost get in a wreck to get my gas because I'm going to get 5 cents off. And that place next door, they might be sitting empty and I could go get my gas right now, but they're not going to give me any points. So I'm going to wait in line at the Mapco. Why? Because of the rewards. Because it's worth it. They've decided it's worth the wait, right? The unwillingness to wait, though, listen to this, hear me out, and I'm trying to wrap this up, I'm sorry. The unwillingness to wait will put unneeded stress on your life, your marriage, your finances, the call of God on your life, your job, because human error always abounds where we fail to wait. And when we say, I'm not going to invest my time in waiting on the Lord, we are putting unneeded stress on the relationship with the person God has blessed us with. We're putting stress on the paycheck that he made a way for us to receive. We're putting stress on decisions that we make that if we would have waited on him, he would have given us a perfect answer for. That's why it's important in every single decision, I'm going to wait on the Lord. And I love in Isaiah, it says, you shall be led forth by peace. If you don't have peace, don't move. If you're trying to make a big decision, should we buy this house or should we buy that house? Don't move forward until you have the peace of God on the matter. Wait. If it sells between now and tomorrow morning, you didn't need it anyways. Just wait on the Lord and find peace. At the very root of the word in Hebrew, wait, it means to bind together. So this is something else important to learn. While I'm waiting, I'm not wasting my time. I'm serving God, but I'm also intertwining myself with him. He and I are becoming one. Why? Because I'm waiting on him. I'm not trying to move ahead of him. I'm not lagging behind him. I'm waiting on him, and it's binding us together. When you wait on God, you're binding your will with his will. Your way with his way, your mind with his mind. You are becoming one with him. It's like Jesus prayed in John chapter 15, that they may become one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. It's his desire to be one with you. What does that mean? He wants to be with you when you clock in tomorrow morning. He wants to be with you when you're laying in bed tonight. He wants to be with you when you're driving down the road tomorrow. But we've got to learn the discipline of waiting on God. So waiting on God brings us to the place of knowing him like we've never known him. Like David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. It's better to wait patiently for 5 minutes than anxiously for 10 minutes. Don't just sit there, oh, are you ever going to answer? Are you ever going to show up? Wait patiently. Wait submitted. Realize I'm binding my heart with his heart and my answers with his answers and my way with his way. It's not wasted because true waiting brings communion with God. That's what you're after more than anything. It's not just, because just like anything else in Christianity, it can become a religious duty. You can read your Bible and not get anything out of it. You can pray and not get anything out of it. You can praise and worship, and you can wait and not get anything out of it. If it's just another religious obligation that you do because it's going to chalk another one up on your list. No, wait for true communion with God in every season, in every situation, because true waiting brings strength, victory, guidance, peace, hope, joy. Wait on the Lord, and wait again, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Stand to your feet with me tonight. This is something that I can't do for you. This is something that the person on your right or your left can't do for you. This is something that you must choose and decide. I am going to wait on God. And listen, yes, tomorrow morning. Yes, the next morning as a daily discipline. But in every single situation, every single decision, choose. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I learned valuable lessons this week by making decisions that were wrong because I failed to wait. I thought a decision had to be made right away. But if I would have waited, He would have given me the right answer in the right time. So be a person that chooses and decides, even if it puts me in an uncomfortable position, and sometimes He will. Imagine Saul, the entire nation was fleeing from him, and he was getting scared. And he thought, I'm going to lose him. I'm going to lose the kingdom. And he did, because he didn't wait. Be somebody, and that's our example between two people. Saul, always the bad example. Sorry, Saul. You made your own decisions. Saul didn't wait. David said, I waited patiently on the Lord. And he inclined to me. That word incline means to come down to one's level. So when you wait on God, because remember where David said he was? He was in the pit. He was in a low place. But when he waited, God reached down and he grabbed him and he pulled him back up and he put his feet on solid ground once again. He put a new song in his mouth. And then he said, listen, many will see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Your waiting can lead somebody else to salvation. When you choose, instead of acting rashly with this person that's wronged me, I'm going to wait for a little bit. Instead of losing my cool, I'm going to wait for a little bit. Instead of just rashly making a decision, I'm going to wait for a little bit. God's been speaking to me about this for months now. And trust me, it's a lot harder to do than it is to preach. It's a lot harder to do than it is to listen to a sermon. So choose right now. Just like Joshua said, choose you this day who you will serve. Choose you right now. I'm going to be somebody who waits on the Lord. And you shall renew your strength. Amen.